This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hello, hello, hello. How are you all doing on this beautiful Saturday? That's right, I said it. This beautiful Saturday afternoon. This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are now on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great week. As usual, I mean, I can't say anything different. I had a very interesting week, but it did end. You know, this is Saturday, so it's the weekend. The weekend is here. The sun is shining. I lost about 300 pounds of misery and loneliness and just crazy psychotic thoughts. So we are all totally good. Now, you never know what you're going to get on the level with J. Lewis Mills. I don't even know what you're always going to get when you're on the level with J. Lewis Mills. But because it was such a good day today, such a nice day outside, and because I have just really cleaned out my personal closet, so to speak, I'm feeling really good, people. I think you can hear it in my voice. Anyway, I wanted to come outside and do my show. I was like, you know, never done a show outside. Let me see what it's like. So I was like, where can I go? And they always say there's no place like home. I have done two of my biggest projects here, so this is home for now, and I am now at Universal Studios Hollywood, so we are coming to you live from Universal Studios Hollywood. It's going to be a good show today. I really think it's going to be. Let's just jump right into it. So let's say it was probably about a year or so ago, a year, year and a half ago. I am starting to get more into the whole social media vibe. And I do spend a lot of time on Instagram. And I remember I don't remember if it was something that was in my feed or if my guest actually started following me first. But either way, I was able to see her page. And when I first saw her page, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, she's a hot chick. I definitely want to see what this is all about. So I started watching and started looking at her page. But then I started seeing and reading her posts. And I was like, you know, this seems like a pretty interesting person. Somebody that, you know, has worn a lot of different hats and continues to wear a lot of different hats. And, you know, does partake in what some of society might call an alternative lifestyle. So I wanted to have her on my show today, my second Saturday show. I wanted to have her on Instagram. Her name is Heveline Vegan, Heveline_vegan. Just before the show, I was trying to ask her exactly how to say her name, and I was lost. I lost that game. I absolutely did. But she did say that I could call her Jazz. A lot of people call her Jazz. So for this show and for our conversation, I am going to refer to my guest as Jazz, but you can find her on Instagram, and she'll give you all of that stuff. But let's bring her in. Me talking enough. Let's bring her in. Hello, Miss Jazz. How are you? And thank you very kindly for being with me this week.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great today.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, where are you talking to me right now? Where are you?
I am in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada right now.
Wow. What's the weather like up there?
It was pretty sunny earlier today, and it's starting to be a little bit more gloomy now, so the sun has set officially out here. It is 7 o'clock, so it's a little bit darker than it is for you guys out that way.
Yes, yes. We still have the beautiful sun in the sky. So I was explaining, I mentioned it a little briefly, that you wear a few different hats. I always like to start my conversations so that my listeners know who they're talking to, so that when we do get into certain subjects, they'll know that you are well-versed in whatever subjects we are going to talk about. So I always like to, I'm an in-the-moment, I'm a present-type person, and I am a your-own-words type person. Nobody can explain you better than you. So if you would, please, ma'am, if you would tell myself and my listeners about you, and then we will go ahead into our conversation.
Well, first and foremost, I am 100% vegan animal rights activist. That's my main hat that I wear, but I'm also a life coach and a big spiritual activist as well. So with that said, I end up attracting a lot of people into my life that need help, and I guide people however I can with whatever struggles they have, and I mentor people into making the changes for better choices for a vegan world and all of the questions that they may have. So that's a basic sum up.
And how long have you been? No, that's the wrong question. Were you an animal activist first? Were you a vegan first? Or did they come in hand in hand?
They came in hand for me. So I was actually vegetarian for a good 8 years before going vegan. But I was just one of those people that I just knew it was better that the animals weren't dying for me. And I made the choice. But I honestly didn't do any research at that time. So I stuck with a vegetarian lifestyle. And just as how life will have it, you start seeing a lot of things pop up around your life that strike up a little bit of curiosity. And I kept seeing the word vegan around and decided to do a little bit more research. And when I learned what was happening to the animals, to our planet and human health, I decided to go vegan. And I watched a really powerful video on YouTube, and that was what made me make the switch. And very quickly after that, I realized that being vegan was not enough for me and that I needed to stand up and do more. And that's where I became an activist right after becoming vegan.
So you became vegan immediately after seeing this video on YouTube. And do you remember what the video was?
Yes. So I watched Gary Yourofsky's The Best Speech You'll Ever Hear. And I could say that it is definitely the best speech I've ever heard. It's a very powerful watch, and it woke up my eyes onto a lot of things. And I was like, you know, I need to do more. The animals need people standing up for them. They are constantly suffering because of choices that we make. And so I decided that it was my time to stand up and be the change. And since then, I've been an active activist, and it's been over 5 years now.
Over 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay. While we're on this subject of your veganism, Let me play devil's advocate with you. Let me ask you a question that, I guess I'm not playing devil's advocate. After I put the post up of our show yesterday, I received, and see, this is what I get. I'm just going to let you know.
Okay.
I get more people that will send me questions via social media or via email than they will actually call to ask their questions. So after I posted you being on my show, somebody sent me a message through Instagram and said, can you please ask your guest what is the difference with eating animals and eating plants, because plants live and animals. I'm not reading. It's not right in my face. I'm paraphrasing. But it basically was asking me to ask you, why is it okay to eat plants? Plants live, but it's not okay to eat animals.
Well, this is actually a question I get a lot of when I'm at the schools, because I travel around Canada and I discuss these kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize is that, yes, plants live, but plants don't have central nervous systems, so they can't feel pain. They feel energy, so there has been like documentation done where, and I think a lot of people refer to these kinds of studies. But at the end of the day, plants don't have central nervous systems. Animals do. And so they can feel pain. And if we're really getting into the nitty-gritty of it all, We currently breed over 70 billion livestock every year for animal agriculture, and that's not counting the fishing industry as well. So if you think about all of the plants that the animals are eating, mm-hmm. we're catching a lot more plants and yeah. animals by consuming animals than we are if we were just to consume plants. So there's a lot less harm happening for our planet, mm-hmm. the animals, the plants, the whole shebang, by just consuming plants via consuming animals that, you know, they're a lot larger than we are. So they have to yeah. consume a lot larger quantities of plants. And then we then kill the animal as well. So it just, a lot of environmental destruction, a lot of suffering goes into animal agriculture that people are just really not aware of.
You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills, with my guest, Miss Jazzy. You can call and talk to myself or Jazzy at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. So I totally know you heard that. I apologize. Okay, so I've got another question as to if it's one that you get a lot. So, or no, it's not really a question, but this is something that I've heard vegans say, and if you could just touch on it and explain it further. I have heard, because, you know, one of the biggest debates that I'm hearing is you need to eat meat for protein, you don't need to eat meat for protein. So if animals are getting their protein from having a plant-based diet, wouldn't it just make sense that we as human beings would get our protein from eating plant-based diets? Or is that, like, wrong?
No, that's 100% accurate. So I think that that's actually one of the main questions I get. Not, people don't really realize the plant source. But a lot of people that are vegan get the protein question. And at the end of the day, the animals are getting their nutrients directly from the source, the plants, and we go secondhand through the animal's body. So it's just, we're using massive resources and all of this stuff that's not really necessary when we could just go to the plant source directly, because yeah. our bodies actually only need 2.5% of protein from calories, and they recommend 5% so that everybody gets covered. But mm-hmm. what's happening right now in our world is we're getting double to triple the amount of protein that we need, especially with a lot of these more high meat-based diets that are being promoted. And it's yeah. actually causing a lot of health problems in our world. Yeah. We're starting to notice the average death rates of people there's a lot of people, I wouldn't say average, but there's a lot of people that are starting to lose their lives under the age of 60. And it's something for us to take note of. So, I mean, there's a lot of other health aspects that can come into play, but when we take a look at the issues that are caused because of eating animals and their byproducts, it's time for us to go straight to the source, the plants, for our nutrients, opposed to secondhand through somebody else's body.
And can you explain to my listeners what are the major differences in just the way your body feels and your body works since you have been vegan? And even though it has been 5 years, do you remember how soon after you changed over your diet, you started to notice a change or a difference in, you know, your body, or even your mind, your mental?
Yeah. Well, ultimately right now I say that, everything just works better. So, okay. you know, like, your clarity comes better, like your digestive system's better, your energy levels are better. I think it's going to be different for everybody to make that switch, because if somebody comes to a vegan lifestyle and they've been eating a lot of McDonald's and processed foods and junk foods, they might have more of a detox kind of effect making the switch. But, and yeah. so it might take them maybe a couple weeks to get to that point. Because I was already vegetarian and I had been already eating very clean at that point, I didn't have major effects. I did notice a fair bit of breaking out in my skin. So it's just basic detox things that your body is just releasing a lot of toxins that have been built up in your system for a long time and just bringing them to surface. And then you kind of flush that all out and you start feeling all jazzy and just full of vibrant energy. So and your connectedness. That's the thing that I noticed, was I started to feel a little, like, a lot more connected to life around me in general. So I started having more of a connection to different people around me, to different beings, to the universe. And again, everybody's going to be on their own journey. And I've always been a spiritual person. So, but I just definitely noticed that after I went vegan, I started thinking about things a lot differently, and just kind of taking into consideration how my choices were affecting others around me and how it was affecting the planet and all of that. So there's a big connectedness that can happen after you go vegan, for sure.
And you had mentioned in your explanation, you had mentioned people that eat McDonald's or eat processed foods, their detox is going to be different than someone that is just going from vegetarian to vegan, which absolutely I totally get. So has there been somebody that has come to you for assistance and they said, Jazzy, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm going to a fast food place, I snack all day. Have you helped someone like that? And how was the beginning of the road for them, so to speak?
I have. Actually, that's because I travel Canada and I talk to a lot of people. I've actually helped a lot of students and parents with their struggles as well. And I tend to promote more so like the starch solution. So I promote a lot of starches. So people go back to, you know, eating beans, pasta, rice, lentils, chickpeas, oatmeal, starchy, cheap foods that give you all of the brain fuel that you need with quality energy levels. And I find that that can actually help people in their transition a lot more, because it's a lot of foods that people are already used to. So they're still able to have their pasta dishes and their, you know, bean burritos and like comfort foods that people know and love. So they're not feeling, they're not releasing so much as if they were to go from eating a lot of processed foods to then going straight raw. They might have more of a challenge with that. But ultimately, it's just a matter of coaching people and listening to what they're used to and kind of giving them the guidelines on how to do it properly. But I've had for a specific situation, I had a father when I was in St. Catharines a couple years ago, and he had really bad health effects, and he was like, the doctors were really worried about him. And so I was coaching him and helping him throughout it. And he still thanks me to this day for helping him. And so does his daughter, because he was really not doing good. And he didn't, you know, he was not eating very good before. He was eating a lot of processed foods, and he didn't go through that much effects either. So I think everybody's body is going to be different. And sometimes, you know, there's the placebo effect too. Like, if you think your body is going to be affected, it might be more affected than if you believe that you can do it and have the positive switch over as fast as possible. So I think we just have to be supportive and listen to people with what they're coming to us with when they approach us about veganism.
I absolutely 100% agree with that. We can go into a whole, you almost opened a can of worms right there by saying we just need to listen to people. We can put that on so many other different walks of life, or contexts of life, or situations in life. That's just, I mean, we just need to listen to each other, period. But I absolutely do agree with you when it comes to this. Yes, absolutely. So I have another question. Well, I've got a lot of questions for you, but my next question for you is, so I've got some fitness trainer friends, and you know, they put their clients on whatever type of a diet for them strength wise, depending on what they're trying to do. If I had to think quickly, I believe I have like four physical trainer friends, and I know that one of them is 100% against what some people call a cheat day. Three of them say, you know, a cheat day is okay, it's like a reward. Now, that's working out. That's working out type food. When it comes to someone being vegan, is there a such thing as a cheat day where it's okay if you want to, you know, have some type of processed foods, or you want to have, you know, maybe some cheese, not necessarily meat, but you want to have some cheese or a milkshake or chocolate milk or something like that. Is that a thing in the vegan world, a cheat day?
Well, if you want to say a cheat day and keeping it vegan, absolutely. can still have vegan cheese. You can still have vegan milkshakes. You can still have everything that anybody wants with animal or animal byproducts. You can have vegan.
Okay.
So you don't need to give up these more processed type foods that are vegan still. So removing the cruelty and the harm to the animals and the planet definitely should be at the top of our thought process when we're making these choices. Mm-hmm. But I think that if that works for somebody, I know a lot of junk food vegans. I know a lot of vegans that are very healthy, and then every now and then they'll eat, you know, their processed vegan junk foods. But when it comes to causing the least amount of harm possible, I know for me personally, there would never be a cheat day to go and eat actual cheese or have, you know, a milkshake. I would always make sure that it's vegan because there's so many amazing and delicious products out there right now. There's over 15 different milk alternatives that people can use to make milkshakes. There's so many different vegan ice creams that people can try. Products are really, really taking the movement right now. Like, there's a lot of things that are coming out for people to be willing to try. And I think that ultimately, if we're going to take this a little bit different too, I think that we have a big problem in our world right now with gluttony. We're over consuming a lot of foods in general, and it's actually doing a lot of harm for our energy levels and everything. We kind of let our taste buds be the ruler of how we live. And I don't think that our taste buds should be how we dictate our lives. So for me, I've built a very strong relationship with food in the past, and even more in the past couple years. So since being vegan, it's become stronger. But in the past year or so, I'd say that it's even become more heightened, where I used to say I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full. And now I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm satisfied. And if that means that I then have to eat again sooner after, then that's fine. But I don't think that we should be getting to the point where we need to have cheat days, because what happens then is it's almost like, what are you removing from your life that makes you want to have a cheat day? You know, you got to ask those questions. And if you can find more natural balance in your everyday life and you can keep that continuous, then I think that there's going to be a lot of benefits to that for sure.
When you do help people that are new to the vegan lifestyle, have you written a cookbook that you give to them? That do you just, or do you have you gone online and found recipes that you will share with them? How does that part of the education work for you?
Well, because I travel around, I do have a lot of driving. So I'm driving around Canada, and I have a lot of behind the scenes work and things like that. So when I'm with students, and the reason I say students is because I'm mainly going to universities and colleges right now. But I deal with the public as well. I have sat down with students before and made plans with them, but ultimately I don't have a recipe book. That's not something I have the time to do, but I promote a lot of really positive people in the vegan movement that have really great recipes. There's the Happy Pair. They're a team of brothers, and they have a lot of really great recipes, different links. So if people want 5-minute vegan meals, if people want comfort foods, if they want raw foods, you just have to be willing to listen to what they want. And then I just send them to the right link from that point on.
Okay. You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. You can call us at 1-888-627-6008. That is 1-888-627-6008. Jazzy, have you ever had a student, or if it was out of school and an adult, a client that came to you for help, and they just said, you know what, I'm just not strong enough. I thought I wanted to do this, but I don't have the willpower. So I'm sorry, but we don't need to work together anymore. Has that ever happened?
Well, I don't have people that would say they wouldn't work with me again, but if people say that, I'm willing to work with them. So if they think that they can't do vegan right away and they're feeling overwhelmed by it, then I work with them. So what are they willing to do? Ultimately, we want people to be willing to cause the least amount of harm possible. And so I'll sit down and I'll chat with them. You know, I've had people give me booklets back after I've handed them out, and they are like, hey, like, I don't think I could ever do this vegan thing, but I don't want to waste paper. At the end of the day, I'm, you know, as much as I would love for that person to go vegan overnight, I want to be there to help coach and support them in the aspects that they're willing to do. So, you know, ask them, what vegan meals are you willing to try? Like, do you think that you could do 4 to 5 vegan meals a week, you know, like breakfasts or like couple, like throughout the week and then not on weekends. And then you get to, you know, you inform them about the information more and more. And majority of the time, people just don't know how to go about it. And that's where, when you let them know the health benefits and how cheap going vegan is and how much brain clarity you'll have and heightened endurance times, your recovery times are stronger. I think that they start to learn more, and then it's easier for them to actually make that change. So I find people make the switch a lot faster than they come to you and they say that they're not willing to do it, and they end up making the switch a lot faster than you initially thought that they would. So it's very interesting. It just boils down to, like I said, you know, listening to their needs and showing kindness and compassion towards them as well, just like we want people to show towards the animals.
And getting back to your animal activism, are there any specific causes that you promote more than others, or like how does that all fit into what you do as far as animal activism?
I started off as a grassroots activist, and I would, you know, try and be out for every possible event that I could. So we were targeting any animal cruelty issue. I still definitely am part of every animal cruelty protest that I can be part of. So if that's entertainment, if that's lab testing, if that's, you know, the food industry or hunting and all of that kind of stuff, I'm going to try and be there and make the numbers as big as possible for that. But my main forefront right now is animal agriculture, for sure, because it's where the majority of our cruelty is taking place towards animals. And I do believe that once people were to see the cruelty happening to animals for animal agriculture, the more willing they will be into looking into what's happening in all the other industries, and then we'll have less harm to animals in that aspect.
And so animal agriculture, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying animal agriculture is definitely the thing that I focus on more than the others, but everything is important.
Okay. When you go to these events, are they predominantly, or for the most part, are they in Canada? Do you come to the U.S.? Do you travel the world and go to animal activist events?
I'm mainly in Canada. Okay. I have done some in the States before, but I'm mainly in Canada. And if I had the funding to be able to travel around the world and do them around the world, I would absolutely do so. But for now, Canada has my grind work.
Okay. And I absolutely do not mean this in a Canada versus United States way. I just mean this as, you know, just an educational way. Is there a difference when you attend events in the States and then you attend events in Canada? I really hope you or none of my listeners think this is an unfair question, because I think it is a good question. Is there a difference in the passion? Is there a difference in the energy? Is there Is there a difference in the passion behind the activism versus Canada and U.S., or is it pretty much all the same?
I'd say it's the same. I think that as a whole, animal rights activists right now, we're ultimately just tired of animals being tortured. They do actually have a voice. I was going to say they don't have a voice, but they have a voice. We just don't understand their words and how they're trying to speak to us. Yeah. And so I think that activists all around right now are getting very frustrated with how, you know, it's almost 2019 and we have so many healthy options that are cruelty free, whether that be clothing wise, food wise, the lab testing, like I mentioned, we need to get rid of all of this cruelty. So the passion is definitely there from all activists. Mm-hmm. All of us are ready to see animals free. That's the main goal here.
Do you think there will ever be a day where we will see a complete vegan world. I know that that's a thought of aspiration. I get it. But do you think that will actually become a thing at some point?
I would love to say so, but if we're being really honest about how our world naturally works too, you know, like we still have murderers out there that kill humans, even though that's illegal. So like, I think that, you know, animal agriculture at one day or another will end up becoming illegal and we'll have a lot less cruelty that's happening, but you're always going to have the odd person here or there that think that it's okay to do it, whether it's legal or not. So I think that saying that it's totally going to be 100% eradicated is pushing, like it's something we would definitely want, but there's always going to be people that, you know, it's completely illegal to murder somebody, but people still go out and do it. Right.
So exactly. Yeah.
So there are going to be certain people that are going to do things behind the scenes that is not going to be okay. But at the end of the day, I do believe that we are going to get to a point where it's going to be illegal. It might not be for hundreds of years, but we're hoping that it comes sooner and sooner. And with all these amazing products that are coming out, and if we can just have more of a peaceful approach with people and, you know, really listen to each other without this attack mode. There's a lot of people are frustrated. And so there's a lot of attacking that tends to happen. At the end of the day, if you're attacking somebody, whether it's a meat eater attacking a vegan or a vegan attacking a meat eater, it's not going to process properly in that person's brain, because things just go in one ear and out the other, because you both people are on defense mode, right? So we just need to get to a point of ultimate connectedness with each other, ultimate love, and just listening to each other and being there for each other, knocking down walls so that we can make these changes as fast as possible.
Also, When you said earlier that your main thing is the agricultural animals, when you say that, does that mean cows, chickens, and pigs, or do you also talk about the fish that are being farmed?
Yes. So animal agriculture is in all animals that are being fed for or eaten right now. So turkeys, lambs, cows, fish, horse in certain cases, like we're just overusing animals, and it's extremely, and it's just not needed. It's unnecessary.
You know, you said something, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say for the fish, for example, like we kill over 70 billion livestock every year for animal agriculture, and that's just livestock. With fish, we can't even count them in numbers. They're killed in such large quantities that they're counted in tons. And I think that's something to take note of. These animals aren't even considered as numbers anymore. They're considered in pounds. And, you know, at the end of the day, these are living beings that should be counted, and we shouldn't be using them. There's so much better options that we can have.
I 100% agree. And before I say what I was going to say earlier, I will say this. I used to live at an apartment complex here in Hollywood, and right next door, I mean, when I say right next door, I mean right next door, was a vegan restaurant. I ate at this particular restaurant for the first 3 months that I was living in this apartment. I ate there every day. I didn't have the slightest idea for those first 3 months that I was eating at a vegan restaurant.
Awesome.
I ordered Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. I ordered their version of a Big Mac. I ordered shrimp and chips basket. I ordered chicken fingers. Never once did I know that I was eating vegan food until one day I actually took the time to look at the menu, and I saw at the top it said vegan restaurant. And I was like, bullshit, this ain't no vegan restaurant. I just had a Philly cheesesteak the other week. So when the waitress came to my table, I was like, why do you all say you're a vegan restaurant? Is that like a joke? And she said, no, because we are. And I was like, nah, I just had a Philly cheesesteak the other week, and I'm getting ready to have your version of the Big Mac. And she's like, yeah, neither one of those are real meat.
What That's
the
awesome.
Fuck out of here? Are you serious? And so that is really what, so I was one of these people that said, I'm not going to just eat plants. That's not me. I need to eat more. I need to this. I need to that. This restaurant by itself helped me understand that when people talk about alternatives, it's not something to fool your mind. Some of this food tastes better than like the Big Mac sandwich I was talking about. I love Big Macs. I do. But this sandwich tasted more like a Big Mac than a real Big Mac, if that makes sense, which yep. I know it doesn't.
But I have meat eater friends too that, you know, believe it or not, but not all my friends are freaking vegan yet. But I have meat eater friends that will come with me to vegan restaurants and they say the same thing where they're like, the chicken tastes better than actual chicken because yeah. it tastes identical minus the veins and the fattiness. Like who yeah. wants to bite into cartilage? Like nobody can tell me their favorite part of eating chicken is biting into cartilage, you know? So it's just getting people to wrap their head around the fact that you can still have the products that you originally love as a meat eater without yes. the cruelty being caused. And, you know, you don't have to sacrifice on taste at all. And, you know, we're definitely not vegans just eating salads and grass, you know, we have so many amazing options.
Yeah. Now, what I was going to say earlier, you had mentioned that you think we are becoming a world of gluttony to where we eat until we're full. We eat and we eat and we eat. Well, when I hear people talk about that and they say that, you know, you should eat until you're full, that way you don't have to sit at the table again, or that way you don't have to, you know, they give all kind of crazy excuses. So when I started driving my car, I had a friend tell me, you don't want to fill up your gas tank too full. You don't want to fill your gas tank to the brim. That's not good for your car. That's not good. It's going to cause you, it's going to cause problems. So if we use food as our fuel, I would think it's pretty much the same context. You can't overfill a car. You cannot overfill a car with oil. You cannot overfill a car with gasoline. You're going to have a problem. So it would seem to me if you're somebody that's eating or drinking all these protein shakes, let's say that's the oil. You have too many of those, it's going to cause a problem. You continue eating until, oh my gosh, I'm stuffed. I can't eat another thing. Okay, keep doing that. And I guarantee you, at some point, you're going to have some type of heart condition. You're going to have some kind of blood condition. You're going to have some kind of liver condition. You might even have some kind of an intestine condition. So I appreciate the fact that you mentioned how we are becoming a world of gluttony, because, I mean, in essence, we really are. But if people would, and let's go back to you saying it earlier, if we just listen, if people would just listen and understand and comprehend. But I have seen people in conversations, Jazzy, where someone is trying to be as forthcoming, as open, and as nice as they can, trying to get the message across. Nope, I'm sorry. Let me just stop you right there. I'm not even going to waste your time. I love my meat. I can't live without eating my meat. And it's like, really? Is it really that much for you? So having said all of that, do you ever get frustrated when people, I don't want to say when people don't listen to you. Do you ever get frustrated when you have that person that's on the other side of the fence that thinks they know just about as much as you and they try and engage you in some type of a frivolous debate?
Well, that's the thing that to take note of too, is that a lot of people that are doing that, people, because veganism is not 100%, it's coming more on mainstream, but it's not the mainstream yet. And so a lot of people will come and try and get a rise out of vegans. They want us to react. They want to be able to call us those crazy angry vegans, right? And so you can't, yeah. I don't give them that opportunity to say that to me. And I think listening again, it's about breaking down walls. People have protective mechanisms that they put up and they have barriers. And it's a matter of control. They feel like they haven't been heard in certain aspects of their life. So they have a situation where they're approached by a vegan and this is new to them. So they're just going to go on attack mode to try and get a reaction. So if you don't give them that reaction, you actually see them break down their wall a little bit more because you're listening to them. And then in their spiels that they're saying to you, you can usually figure out what's kind of, I mean, I've been doing this for a while, so I can usually figure out what's going on behind the scenes, and like even just ask one question that might switch the flip the switch, and then you know they're like, whoa, wait, I've never heard somebody say it like that before, and then you can actually have a genuine conversation with them. But if somebody is just in attack mode and I can't find that wall that needs to be broken down, I've disengaged from conversations before because I don't want to waste my energy when I know that I'm trying to affect as much change as I can with so many other people. And when I'm out there, you know, I'm out there for 5 to 6 hours a day talking to people. And so I, you know, there's a lot of people that I can affect. And if I'm going to be stuck in a conversation for, you know, half an hour with somebody that's just giving me a hard time, I've learned how to disengage, and I've learned sometimes it's okay to disengage because if I notice my energy is getting frustrated, then I'm not going to be effective with that person anyways. So it's better for me to wish them a great day and tell them that I'm thankful for our conversation. And, you know, if they want to come back and chat later, they're more than open to having them. But I think it's okay to disengage sometimes when you're noticing yourself getting a little frustrated.
I 100% agree. When it comes to your life coaching, I think you said this earlier. Your life coaching is also surrounded by the vegan lifestyle, or do you life coach people not necessarily just for the vegan lifestyle?
Well, I was doing life coaching before I was vegan, so I've just incorporated what I've learned in my life coaching to do my vegan activism. Okay. The life coaching is kind of separate. So like my activist coaching is one thing, my, you know, spiritual coaching and my life coaching is kind of another. But I will, you know, the universe works in crazy mysterious ways. And when I'm out there handing out information about animal agriculture and talking to people about veganism, sometimes I have people come to me who just connect to me in a very different way. And that's where they'll talk about their personal struggles and things like that. And I will use my life coaching in that moment to actually be there for them and what their struggle is. So there's a time and a place. Like I wouldn't, you know, if somebody's talking to me about a death in the family, I'm not going to turn that around and be like, hey, I'm here talking about the animals today. You know, like I make that about them. Situation. I care about them. Majority of the time they're leaving with a booklet that I've handed them anyways. So I'm going to give them the time and energy that they need. And I've been meeting a lot of people lately who have been opening up and they've been asking me a lot of personal things for tips and advice and, you know, wanting to become happier ultimately and not wanting to be in these depressed states that they're going through. And so I give my personal information to people and I end up doing free life coaching with people because I just want more peace and love in the world. It's time.
Can you speak kind of just a little briefly, because there's a couple other subjects I wanted to get to. I mean, we've already been talking for about 45 minutes and it seems like I've been on the phone with you for 10. That's the crazy thing about my show. It just goes so quickly. But can you speak to my listeners about how hand in hand, the inner being is to the vegan lifestyle, meaning how important and how vital, you know, meditation and being in touch with yourself and being spiritual and being connected to the universe and, you know, all of that. Can you speak to how that kind of does go hand in hand? Or am I wrong? It doesn't go hand in hand.
I think that there, you can be spiritual still and not be vegan, but I think that ultimately if people want to be like, we have a lot of spiritual gurus and stuff out there. And I think that if they were to be vegan, their levels would just increase a lot higher. Like the things that would come to them would become a lot more apparent. I think that there's a huge pull. I think that the more that you sit down and you focus on self-love and self-care, you notice how you wouldn't want to put hurt onto other people. You don't want to name call. You don't want to inflict pain onto others, whether it be animals or the planet or humans. You see love as your forefront. Love is your base. That's what we are, at the core value of us. We were all born with love. And it's been pushed out of us for years because we've always been told from an early age, you know, so many things, and we get implemented with hate and bullying and all of these things that kind of push our love out of us. And we actually ask from more of a place of fear and pain opposed to a place of love. And so getting people to understand that sitting down and meditating, getting outside in nature, breathing in fresh air, being around water, like staring up at the sky and just being in the present moment is actually going to revamp and amp up so much more love in you. And you're not going to want to put any pain onto others. So I think self-love, self-care, meditation, spirituality, that all is part of us raising our vibrations of the planet. And we really need some crazy amped up raised vibrations. We're ready to see everybody shine their amazing light. And we all have it. Whether you've been acting from a place of hate for years, we all have that core part of us that is love. We all have amazing abilities and goals that we all hold. We have gifts that have been given to us specifically that nobody else will hold. And even if people hold those gifts, you will physically do them in a way that other people won't. And you'll affect people that other people wouldn't be able to affect. So that's where we need everybody to understand the love inside of them and the gifts inside of them, and to act more from that part than from the part of fear and pain.
So where my thought pattern was coming from when I said that I believe veganism and being spiritual go hand in hand. I was of the belief that if someone is going to say, "I'm not going to eat animals because it's bad," you know, they're suffering, they're basically being tortured, and it's not necessary, I would think that is some level of being spiritual.
Yes,
That's how I saw it. So when I said that they went hand in hand, I necessarily, and I'm explaining this more so to my listeners, and I'm not necessarily to you, but I didn't mean you can't be vegan if you don't meditate, and I didn't mean if you meditate then it's not real if you're not vegan, but if you have a love for the animals and you know, it hurts you inside and you feel pain and you feel distraught when you think about it or when you see it or when you're at some type of an event. To me, that seems like it would be somewhat of a spiritual being in place. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. Okay. So I do believe and in my opinion, it should go hand in hand. Like people that are spiritual and are believing in the universe and all the abilities, I think they should be vegan because you ultimately are trying to be as connected as possible, and the animals are beings that live and feel, and they should be incorporated into that, and vice versa, right? So if you're vegan, you should be, not that you should be, but it's in line. It's definitely in line with being spiritual and connecting to the universe and connecting to all of the greatness that Mother Earth gives us and all of that. So I would agree.
Thank you. One more time, last time. This is J. Lewis Mills. You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. You can reach us for the next, I'd say, 15 minutes or so. 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. And just so my listeners understand, I'm not in front of my computer right now, so I can't see if you're sending me any messages. So you may want to call today because I can't necessarily see if you're sending me any messages. So the last hat that I wanted to talk about you wearing, and I would really like for you to explain this to me. I did a little research, but I wanted to wait until I spoke to you. Can you please explain to me and my listeners what the pansexual lifestyle exactly is and how that became a thing for you?
Well, ultimately, the easiest way to explain it as is that I am attracted to the connection that I hold with somebody and their genitals don't play a factor. So I am attracted to the connection. If that connection is very strong, then, you know, I can be with a man, I can be with a woman, I can be with a transgendered person. I don't see age as a factor. I don't see color as a factor. There's no factors for me. It's just a connection. So I think that that's the easiest way to explain it, is that I focus on the connection that I have with somebody opposed to other factors.
How long have you lived this lifestyle, and the only way for me to ask it is how do you think you got into this lifestyle? But that doesn't sound right. So I guess I'm just trying to, I think you know what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, and I wouldn't take insult to that. I have been bisexual for years. Like, that's how the first way that I kind of thought to identify with. And when I, Google, thank goodness for Google.
Yeah.
I was just feeling truly connected to that term, bisexual, for some reason. And I came across somebody that was pansexual, and I actually feel a lot more connected to being called a pansexual because I don't see a difference. I'm not going to put up barriers for my love. My love is meant to flow over. And my love goes on to everybody, not multiple people different at the same time.
Yeah.
But
I understand.
You know, I definitely focus more on the connection that I have with somebody.
And you know, that is I understand that, but that is a good thing that you said. So let me just be blunt and just put it right out on Front Street. People that live the pansexual lifestyle, it's not like you're getting together with a whole bunch of different random people and there's some type of an orgy party going on. That's not true, right?
That's not true. I'm not putting up walls for people. If somebody wanted that to be their kind of lifestyle, then they can.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely. But it's not like when I'm with somebody.
That's not what it is. That's not what the lifestyle is. The lifestyle is actually just the main factor of a pansexual relationship is the connection.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's no orgies. There's no it's not like polyamory, like not the polyamory is orgies, but it's not polyamory where you've got multiple lovers. It's just ultimately pansexual being, you're just attracted to the connection. And but for me, when I'm with somebody, I'm committed to that person. It doesn't mean that because I can still have connections with other people for sure, but those connections are not going to be as powerful as the one that I've chosen to focus my attention on.
So since it is a lifestyle of connection, is it a fair or is it an unfair statement to say, if you live the pansexual lifestyle, so I don't mean you'll have more partners, but you will experience, is it a fair statement to say in the pansexual realm, you will experience more relationships? And what I mean by that is, when people are in what you want to say is a traditional relationship, I have seen my share of my male friends and my female friends that just stayed for whatever. Oh, I still love him. Oh, I still love her. Oh, she doesn't mean it. Oh, he doesn't mean it. They have stayed around for really, in my opinion, insignificant reason. So in the pansexual community, that's a better word, in the pansexual community, is it once the connection is gone, then you just automatically become friends? Is the breakup the same? Is there any difference in that aspect?
I would almost take that into a different level of conversation also, just because I think that in our generation, our society right now, we have a big problem with people not understanding that, you know, you're going to have fluctuations and things might change. And just because the connection, it might not be as strong. I personally, in my realm, would say that there's, like, let's talk about it. Let's have more communication and a stronger communication and foundation that we can build. I think a lot of people tend to take the easy way out with all these dating apps that are out now. It's very easy for somebody to just be like, hey, my partner's not jazzing it up for me anymore. I'm going to look on Tinder or on a dating site and find the next best thing. And I think when you pick and you choose to be with somebody, there's work that needs to go into relationships. So I think, you know, there comes a point in time where do you want to just take the easy way out or do you want to put the work in with that person? And if the connection is completely lost, then yes, that's just like a normal breakup. But if you're, you know, if you just are not feeling a little bored, like being bored is okay to feel that way. We need to start being okay feeling certain feelings, and not always needing to find the quick way out. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a reason to leave the partner, depending on how much the connection has been lost. But I think if there was a strong connection to begin with, then it's just a matter of connection and communication.
Okay. Do you think, and I just got told in my ear that we are running short on time, so do you think that there'll ever come a day where you will go back to traditional relationships, or are you pretty happy where you're at?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely a pansexual for life.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do thank you, Miss Jazzy, for being here today. When at the end of the show, I usually ask my guests to give my listeners one final thought. So you have the floor to give your final thought.
I would just like for everybody to really consider going vegan and look into the information that's out there, because there's so much amazing information for us to have a healthier planet and to stop the cruelty happening to animals. And it's way better for human health as well. So ultimately, I would just be so appreciative if people looked into the vegan lifestyle and really thought about going vegan and making the 100% switch. And you guys can definitely reach out to me on Instagram at Javelin Vegan and contact me there. I'll answer your guys' questions and I'll be there for you.
Thank you very much. And I'm so sorry I butchered the name. I've been calling you Javelin Vegan for as long as I've known you.
It's totally just a...
Never once did it ever come into my head, dude, that's Javelin, bro.
So the Olympic sport.
I apologize for that.
Throughout there.
Okay.
Perfect.
So, you know, again, thank you very kindly for being here. But my last words, it's not going to be anything like last week, trust me. But my last words are this. I have done more than one show with more than one topic. You go back to my archives, listen to my work. In almost every conversation, these words are said. People need to start listening to each other. No matter what the subject matter I'm talking about, people, no matter who my guest is, it all comes back to the same thing. We really need to start listening to each other. I am just now, I told you at the top of the show, I am just now, thankfully, getting out of a situation. It wasn't a relationship. It really wasn't a relationship. And I really can't even say it was a friendship. But when people don't listen to what you have to say, when people take your words for granted, a problem. You're not respecting them. So I believe if we would just start listening to each other, be it health-wise, be it politically, be it sexual preference, be it whatever the case may be, if we just sit and start listening to each other, there would be less arguments, and I think there will be more people saying, I may not agree with you, but I understand. Because I'm absolutely one of those people. I don't have to agree with what somebody says for me to understand where they're coming from. or understand how they came to that thought pattern. So if I could end this show in any way, which I can because it is my show, I'm going to end this show by saying, listen, be present. If you don't want to listen to somebody, don't be around them. Don't deal with them. Leave them alone. But I really, it's frustrating to no end how bad it is that we do not listen to each other. And out of everything that we talked about today, and this was a lot of information, thank you, Jazzy, it really was. But the one thing that I cannot get away from is we just don't listen to each other. I thank you all for being here. Next week, pretty big doozy. Pretty big show next week. We are going to have videos next week. We are going to have audio clips next week. We are even going to have live guests next week to put a particular situation 100% on the level. So I hope you all join me next week. Once again, Miss Jazzy, thank you very much for being here. You've got to come back again sometime.
Absolutely.
We will absolutely finish this conversation. I hope you all have a great week. Again, thank you so much for being here. You can reach me at jlewis.mills@outlook.com. I am on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I am on Snapchat. I am on Twitter. And I am on LinkedIn. Please love each other. Please love yourselves. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.